Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me. As we brought the broadcast to a close yesterday, we're talking about and sharing Psalm 73. It's a psalm of Asaph, and it starts out, he says, "Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart." We can all say amen to that. But then he goes on to share where it's really at in his situation and in his life. And he said, "But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped." He looked around at the world, and sometimes if we're honest, we can fall prey to that same trial and temptation, because you're serving God the best you know how to do. You are worshiping God, and it seems like all hell has broken loose in your life. You don't understand. You're praying, you're seeking God, you're tithing, you're doing all that you know to do to please God and to be a good Christian. But the battles and the trials, you look around at the unsaved, and they don't seem to be in trouble. He says that. Verse 5, you know what? It hasn't changed. Why don't they have trouble? Because the devil has them already. We're in warfare, beloved, and he's after those who stand in opposition to what he wants. And if you're covered in the blood of Jesus, if you're a born-again Christian, he hates you with the same hatred that he hates the living God, because you belong to him. And he goes on, verse 5, they're not in trouble like other men, neither do they play like other men. He talks about their pride. They're corrupt. They speak wickedly. They speak loftily. They set their mouths against the heaven, and their tongue walketh through the earth. They're boasting. They're proud. And in verse 12, he says, "Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches." And isn't that just what Jesus said? People like that, they're loved of the world because the truth is not in them. We are not like the world. And so the world hates us. If they hated Jesus, well, should we be surprised that they hate us? But now this is what we need to hear. He's confessing to generations that have read this word. He says, "Verily, I've cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. All day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning." But then he stops himself. He said, "Oh, if I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end." Verse 18 says, "Surely thou didst set them in slippery paces. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment they are utterly consumed with terrors." And then he says, "So foolish was I, Lord, and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee." But this is the part I want you to hear. "Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel." That's what we've been sharing all week. "And afterward, receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." And verse 28, "But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works." Beloved, that's what it is to be surrendered. We don't bury our heads in the sand. We understand difficult times. We understand the apparent prosperity of the wicked. But nonetheless, we understand God's eternal perspective. He says, I was foolish, I was ignorant until I considered. I went into the sanctuary. He went into the Word of God. He understood the truth of what God was saying and that their future is very desolate and bleak because they do not acknowledge God. So we're talking about surrender. How do we do these things? Well, we have to give up ourself, if you will, the right to ourself. That's what the wicked do. Nobody tells them what to do. They do what they wish when they want to and without anyone telling them. They sometimes may be forced into subjugation on an employment situation or whatever, but that's their lifestyle. But we, on the other hand, will present our lives to God. We make a determined decision to do the will of God. We make up our minds that we want to do God's will. And also, we give in. We say, Lord, I want to put off the deeds of the flesh. I want to mortify. Mortify means to kill. And so we ask God's help. And then by our will, we cast off the works of darkness. Does that mean we'll never sin again? Of course not. John says, if any man says he's without a sin, he's a liar. But our intention is that we will walk pleasing to God. And also we quit rebelling against God. If we're doing something we know is wrong, then we need to ask God for the spirit of repentance that we will no longer continue in a pathway of rebellion. As we see into the Old Testament, God's people did. They knew the power of the living God. They were delivered out of Egypt, and God showed miracles in their behalf. And yet, subsequent generations did the very thing that the Torah told them not to do. They put other gods before them. And so we have to be determined to obey God's word and quit looking at the circumstances with our natural minds and begin looking with the eyes of faith, with the mind of faith, with the mind of Christ. We're to yield to the Holy Spirit. That's why He's our comforter. He's our advocate. He's our helper. And as we ask God to come into our lives, take full control, as we yield to the Holy Spirit, They love that prayer. They will enable us to do what in our own flesh is impossible. And then we're to concede that our thoughts, our ways, are wrong when they violate or stand in opposition to God's word. So basically, surrendering is simply coming into submission to the will of God. We give our bodies a living sacrifice to God. Remember, I shared that. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He goes on to say, be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And so, we give our bodies a living sacrifice to God. We simply part and want nothing to do with the ideas, the attitudes, the actions that violate God's commands, and be willing to hand over to God every area of our lives. Now, He knows those areas where you've not been willing to surrender, those areas that you've just kind of held back and you've just not thought about it much. But God knows us. He knows you better than you know yourself. And so if you will take that first step, yielding to God, you will then begin to produce the right kind of thoughts and attitudes and actions and interactions with others, dealings with others. And then as we do that, something wonderful happens in us. It's not immediate, it's not overnight, but we begin to give off or emit or beam or radiate the Christ within us when we are a yielded vessel to God. We acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ to be our head, and we are submission to Him and to His order of things. Beloved, that's why heavens is such a wonderful place, because everyone there understands that. They don't question it as we do here in our mortal bodies. And so we become submissive, beloved. We become compliant with His word. We become clay in the potter's hands and are so pliable that He can mold us and make us into the vessels of honor that He wants us to be. Praise God. Well, I believe that's your desire. I believe that's your heartfelt wish, your consecration to the Lord, that you want to be that. So let's just bring this broadcast to a close in prayer. Father, you see the heart of every person who's listening. Lord, you do know us better than we know ourselves. And Lord, we want to please you. We want to be in submission. We want to surrender all to you. And so, Father, right now, by a decision of our will, with an act of faith, we surrender all that we are. Not just our bodies, Lord, but our souls, our spirits, which are yours, that eternal part of us which will not know death. Father, we thank you that we have chosen the way of the Lord. And should you tarry upon death, we will be with you. We choose life. We choose truth. We choose, Lord, to be yielded so that you can mold us and make us into a vessel of honor, into an object of beauty, one of your consecrated vessels in the house of the Lord. One thing, Lord, I'm thinking of what David said. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. And if you prayed that, beloved, with sincerity of heart, that's our future. That's what we have to look forward to learn all the wonderful things about the Lord, about His creation. There will never be boredom when we're with the Lord, for He is a God who fulfills every heart's desire as our heart's desire become that which is surrendered to Him. Well, beloved, I do love you, and I pray for each and every one of us every day that we will be pleasing to the Lord, that we will love in the same way as He has loved us. That's not just our neighbor as ourselves, but to love as He has loved us. That is His agape love. And with that love, I do love you. Until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.